Welcome to the Mark in the Morning podcast. Want to receive this daily? Search Mark in the Morning on iTunes, Stitcher, Audio Boom, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah. Let's fire us up a little crap, a little Starship.
Crap. This is awesome.
I actually love Starship. I do. Even We Built This City, most universally hated song.
Yeah.
I freaking love it. I'm just saying.
This is right in your wheelhouse.
In case you can't tell, Gina's back.
Hi.
All right, we got a pile of show. Jhenlia Starr Swain, she is just a citizen. She was at the Lincoln Memorial, and egged on by her family, she sings the national anthem. And there is a growing crowd that explode at the end of it. We will share that. We're going to try to get Mighty John Marshall on. What is an original pressing of Sgt. Pepper Lonely Hearts Club Band signed by all four Beatles worth? It's going on the auction block today. We have another round of Bridezilla. What is happening?
Who else wants to watch Mannequin right now?
Are you sleeping correctly? I'll guide you through. A guy marries a cell phone, but he has a reason. A rousing round of how does this end? I'll give you the first half of the story. You tell me how it comes out. We got to find a cat to lick. Gina will fully explain.
I got my tongue right here.
The topic today is what do you do for a living and how much do you make? Now, the first time we tried this, I thought this is going to die a miserable death. The phones were packed for 4 hours. People are so willing to tell you how much money they make and what they do. Bad songs by great artists. Rolling Stone magazine came out with 22 great artists who have recorded at least one piece of crap. I gave you the first five. We continue that today. That's at 7:20. Five reasons today doesn't suck. We speak with Jay Leno and David Letterman. Chick on the Street is going to ride the sky slide 1,000 feet in the air.
No.
Glass.
No.
Yeah, she's doing it. And Gina is back. We will completely find out how vacation was. This is Mark in the Morning.
Mexico.
Aww.
Mexico.
Well, Miss Grad was away for a week. She had her some vacation time, and she has now returned to us. So tell us everything and all that went on for your vacation.
I will. First of all, Mark, do I look like I've been burnt to a golden crisp? Because I feel just vacation-tastic.
Well, you are one that you tan pretty easily.
Yes. Yes, you're liking what you see. I'm fishing here. Help me out.
You look rested and tanned
Thank you. Thank you. That's exactly how I feel. All right, well, I have a little music we can play along with this. This was, now, Mikey just insisted the day we got there we had to go to this restaurant called The Office. So we went, the fajitas.
You're on, I don't know what you were.
I even have a picture. They were just covered in oil and bland. But Mikey, let's just assume there was a different chef when you were there.
It had to have been. Look, you're the only person I've ever met that said, I didn't like The Office.
Tim and I were literally like, what was wrong with him? He must have been stroking out. But we did have, there were so many roving musicians everywhere we went in Los Cabos, you know, on the San Lucas and San Jose. So let's just hit a little of this La Bamba that was serenading us. That was just fantastic right when we got there. So we spent days in the pool. We went snorkeling. We had great meals. We boated out to the arch. We rode horses on the beach. Mark, it was basically like a week-long Cialis commercial. Everything we did, it was so great, except for Monday night. What's today? Wednesday? I don't even know. All right. Monday, we went horseback riding on the beach, and it was awesome, except my horse was bitch, and she reared up on me. Do you know what that means?
Oh, yeah.
That means a little Hi-Oh Silver up on her hind legs. Gina went backwards and somehow stayed on. This horse hated me. I didn't do anything, I swear to God. But beyond that, it was pretty much picture perfect. We literally spent days in the pool. I read a book on gray matter in the brain because I'm a super nerd. Everything was awesome. The waves outside of our window, they crashed like thunder. It literally sounded like a train was going by every night. Here's a little sample. Just ka-splash. It was like Mother Nature's train going by, and it was awesome.
I will say this, there is probably no more gorgeous ocean than Mexico.
Agreed. Now, we were on the Sea of Cortez side, right near the Pacific. You really can't go in that water. You will be sucked out to sea and killed. Wow. But it is so beautiful to look at. We went to Santa Maria Beach, though, where you can swim. We went snorkeling. We saw tons of dories and Nemos, and it was amazing. Glass bottom boat tours, and thank you, Mikey. We did take a water taxi. They also have glass bottoms.
Good.
I learned two very important things. In Mexico, they insist on putting cream cheese on all of your sushi.
Yeah.
And putting mango sauces on it. Mm-hmm. So you specifically have to request it sans cheese cream and mango sauce. And also, the C on the shower handle doesn't stand for cold, stands for caliente. Because you too want to avoid a third degree burn. And one more thing. Speaking of third degree burn, I have a gift for all of you. Now, I have actual gifts, bought a bag of gifts for everybody, and I will parcel those out later. I'll spoil the surprise. They are mini decorative skulls. Mark, you have one with the Panthers logo because it's very Mexican. But I was reading in the pool for like 5.5 hours because I was smart enough to go to the grocery store and get a floaty. Mm-hmm. So I'm literally just in the water for 5.5 hours reading this great book. Wow. And I woke up the next morning and I looked like a monster. And Tim was like, ah! And I looked in the mirror and I had one gigantic, big, fat, puffy red bottom lip. I burned the inside of my lip like
this. Oh, my God.
I have a gift. I have photos. Yes. I will put those up on Mark in the Morning Facebook. It was horrible, and it still hurts, but it was really funny. And wow. I know that you had Dr. Richard Brown in here, and yes, you guys were dissecting, you know, the Led Zeppelin
forensic case. Musicologist.
Oh, excuse me. I thought it was just my friend Richie. And I know that, remember the big deal in the trial was that they could only use transposed music played on the piano?
Correct.
Well, had I known this, I would have had a second option for them. If you're out enjoying a meal and a roving band of musicians comes to your table, they could have played this. Options are endless is basically what I'm saying. All you had to do was call. It was incredible. I have more appreciation for my boyfriend, more appreciation for the world we live in. I didn't know how bad I needed to relax until I did it. Thank you for giving me a few days off.
You deserve it. You work 5 jobs. It's crazy what you do. The obvious question that I have to ask concerning your vacation, I'm not going to ask it yet. I'll ask it coming up in a minute. Because you knew when you were on this vacation that I was going to ask this question. So I want to know what the answer is, and then I will dole out the proper comment concerning what you did or didn't do on your vacation. Okay. You knew this was coming.
Of course I did.
So don't act like this is some sort of a surprise.
I'm not even remotely surprised.
Okay, so I'll ask it. And also, now coming up, we got a Mike TV. Mikey started the day with the greatest... The greatest cover of a Queen song ever.
I didn't want to oversell it.
It's since been downgraded.
Right. He downgraded himself. He goes, no, wait, maybe. How about one of the greatest?
When he comes back, he's it's that.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, from Mikey's own mouth to us, to our ears, now it is time for the greatest Mike TV in the history of broadcast.
That's not what I said, but here we go.
Now, the name soon to be heard around the universe is Mr. Mike TV. You love to watch TV, Mike?
You bet.
Yeah, I do. And yesterday on America's Got Talent, a guy named Brian Justin Crum stepped onto the stage and just unassuming dude, and he did possibly, I'm going to say possibly, one of the greatest covers of Queen's Somebody to Love that you'll ever hear.
So it went from the greatest cover of a Queen.
I realize
you won't mind it.
If I say it's the greatest, people are going to be like, no, Adam Lambert's was better. Or that guy you played last 2 weeks ago was better. This is pretty good. You're not going
to
hear
it
much.
It went from the greatest cover to this is pretty good.
All right, I'll let Brian Justin Crum blow your mind. Here we go. I didn't want to overkill it because I do that a lot. Cloverfield, you and I both screwed up on that one, I think.
You absolutely ruined Cloverfield for me.
So there you go. There's your Mike TV.
Good dog.
So Gina has returned to us. Vacation time, much deserved, well deserved.
Thank you.
And well spent. So while you were gone, all of this, by the way, the story that I'm going to share, all of this is 4th of July related. So we're going to have 9 people here for the week of the 4th of July. It's like Christmas. It's nuts here.
9 people?
Yeah, we're packed. I even had to inflate beds.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's that big. So we went to South Carolina and spent way too much money on fireworks that we're going to shoot off on the 4th of July. So in order to get the fireworks down to the beach where we're going to shoot them, we went to Costco and we bought a red flyer wagon. And I opened the box and I pour all the ingredients. It said minimal putting together. That's a bunch of crap. It had 1,000 pieces. And I'm not very good with tools. So I'm dreading doing it. And just as I'm about to sit down and start trying to do it, Linda goes, I'm going to Facebook Live this. And I thought, why? 13,000 people watched me put together a wagon for an hour.
What?
13,000 people. And, dude, I would be in the middle of putting it together. Like, I was putting on the wooden sides, the panel, and people watching on Facebook, like, tell Mark those are backwards. Those go on the other side. And they were right. I had to look at the instructions. But I got it together. and 13,000 people. And then like 100,000 comments. It was nuts. So while we were at Costco, and this is the point I'm getting to, hanging from the ceiling was, the best way to put it, is an inflatable floating living room. It has a couch, several seats. It has a wading pool in it.
Wait. On the flotilla, there is a place to go swimming?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So today, we're going to Facebook Live again. If you thought me putting a wagon together was great, wait till you see this. Now, this floating living room, I got it just for the kids so they can sit out there and float in the lake and enjoy. This thing is too big for me to inflate it on the pier. So we're going to have to, Linda's going to the marine store today. She's going to buy 200 feet of rope.
Oh my God.
We're going to inflate it on the beach. It's got like 12 different areas I have to inflate. And then once we've inflated it, we will pull it from the beach into the water over by the pier where it's going to be tied off so the kids can get on it.
You realize this is completely insane.
Of course it is.
And please tell me you're going to blow this up with your mouth and not with a bike pump.
It'll
be way funnier.
No.
No.
Luckily for me, I've got one of those, you know, plug-in.
Oh,
and I've got
air
two.
Pump. Smart.
Because my guess is the first one's going to die. The first one's just going to go out. Because this is huge. So this afternoon, for those of you into it, we will Facebook Live me inflating a floating living room.
This is appointment viewing.
Well, I don't have to wait for Gina to tell me what's trending. I can tell you myself. Mikey has given up on the Angels. Officially, it's over. They're done. Yep. He's out.
Yep.
He has spoken like a fan. He has given up officially today.
The season is done. I'm still going to watch the games and be a fan, but there's no chance they can
make the playoffs. So defeatist, Mikey. Well, let me rub it in further. Here we go. Well, IKEA has announced a voluntary recall of 29 million chests and drawers after a series of tip-over accidents. Now, they have ways to clip. You're supposed to clip it to the wall, but a lot of people aren't doing that. Kids are getting hurt. Shelter Cat is being blamed for causing $5,000 worth of damage at the Humane Society after a little sneaky little guy turned on a faucet that was left on for 17 hours. Let me lick you! That'll all make sense later, by the way. And here's what's trending in sports. Oh, have you heard, Mikey? The Astros creamed the Angels last night, 7-1. I'm Gina Grad, and that's what's trending online. Coming up, Mark is going to ask me the question that must be asked. But first, little AC/DC. This is Mark in the Morning.
Yes. Now, Gina returns to us after a week's vacation with her live-in boyfriend, Tim. They went to Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
And look, the quintessential reason for vacation. I'll give you an example. We were in Hawaii, Linda and I, no kids. And Linda had bought one of those romance novels that are really graphic.
Mm-hmm.
Every single day, we would be laying by the pool, and she'd be reading this book, and it would get to a particularly hot part, and she would go, all right, let's go. And we'd go to the room and bang. Vacations are built. Because you're in a hotel, you're in an exotic location. The nucleus, the heartbeat of vacation is banging. Now, I've been kind for 41 minutes.
Yeah.
I've not asked this question yet. Gina.
Yeah.
On your vacation, I need to know if there was some form of sexual activity every single day.
Okay, well, first, let me just defend myself and say I wasn't reading romance novels. I was reading about how the gray matter affects your neurons. I hesitate to tell you this. I don't want any guff from you. But I'm going to tell you that, of course, there was banging every day, Mark. You were in Mexico. It was awesome.
Now, are you telling me what I want to hear, or are you being honest?
Why can't it be both? No, it was a good way to reconnect with the old BF, if you know what I mean. Because we got the waves crashing, it's beautiful out. We got this gigantic. You know what we decided to? If this doesn't help, king size beds, no good. Too far apart. We wanted to get back to our queen size bed.
So it was a lovely
and amorous week. Thank you very much for asking.
It's exactly what it's supposed to be. I am so glad. And you know that as soon as I see Tim, I'll ask him.
Oh, good.
Well, since my baby left me, well, I found a new place to dwell. Well, it's down at the end of Lonely Street, that Heartbreak Hotel.
Now, the guitar you're listening to is of the great Scotty Moore, the influential guitarist who played on Elvis's early recordings. He passed away yesterday in Nashville. He was 84. A longtime member of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, he was also elected to the Memphis Music Hall of Fame, but due to his ill health, he couldn't attend. Guitarist Keith Richards accepted the award for Moore, and he praised his influence, saying, quote, "I started out on an acoustic guitar. And then I heard Scotty Moore. I went electric because of him. He opened up avenues musically in the way that he worked with bassist Bill Black and, of course, Elvis. That was the kickoff for me and a lot of guys. It was Scotty Moore." Now, Scotty wasn't the greatest guitarist ever, but he was there at the beginning. It was him when they were in Sun Studios. And it's not working because they were trying to do a ballad. It was Scotty who kicked off into That's All Right Mama just to play around. Elvis followed. Sam Moore bust into the room and go, "What is that? Let's record that." I'm going to play for you the moment that rock and roll was born. This is Elvis and Scotty Moore and Bill Black on the Milton Berle Show. And they did this.
You ain't nothing but a hound dog. You ain't nothing but a hound dog. Could cry all the time. Well, you ain't never put a rabbit and you ain't no friend of mine. Well, I said you were high.
And Elvis was jumping all over the stage and Scotty was following him. We lost a great one. I never met him, but I was in Memphis at the Peabody Hotel and Scotty Moore walked through the doors of the hotel as I was exiting. I didn't say anything, but I got to see him.
That's cool.
Rest in peace, my friend. All right, so my wife of 34 years, Skeeter, is down here. Katie is in the room as well. Kind of a funny story. This was like last week. Now, at our house, cocktail hour begins at 5, and then Linda and I cook dinner at 6, and then we just sit out. So we're sitting there, it's cocktail hour, and we're sipping some cocktails, and Reba McEntire's television show comes on.
Yes.
Now, I was Reba's boyfriend for 4 episodes. So we're sitting outside, and Reba is on, and it's one of the episodes that I'm in.
Yes.
I know. I love when that happens.
And so, because it's in syndication, and I don't really remember having ever seen them. So I'm really intrigued, sitting there, sipping scotch, watching myself.
And I have seen it for so many times that I actually forgot that we were watching him, and I'm continuing to just chat about the day and everything, and all of a sudden I get... I'm trying to watch myself on TV.
I was on television speaking, and my wife is yapping away. This is a yap-free zone. I'd like to listen to myself on Reba, and so I shushed her.
And then after that, we're sitting out there, and a mouse runs across the patio. Oh,
we now have a snake and a mouse.
Now, let me remind y'all, I didn't call the man about the snake, because the snake is supposed to get rid of everything. We have a lazy snake.
No. Look, right
not
outside.
Not talking about Mark.
A lazy snake.
Right outside, we found not a bird, but feathers.
Oh, no.
So the snake had him a bird. And my question to you, Linda, is this. Have you seen the mouse recently?
No, I have not.
I think our black snake who lives in that shrub right there is doing his job.
He better be.
What you should do is you should start singing. And maybe the animals will come to you like in Cinderella. And then you'll know like which ones are dead and which ones aren't. So, Mom, just go out there and just belt it out.
Yeah, but I don't want a mouse and a snake coming towards you.
That sounds like a good time. I don't understand.
Well, rule of thumb, Linda, next time I'm watching myself on national TV, say nothing.
I learned that.
All right. A couple of things. One, it is time now for you to call five seconds for $5. Mikey, have you posted the video?
Yeah, I just did.
Very funny. A listener I keep saying that 5 seconds for $5, that everybody's talking about it. All you got to do is hang out by the water cooler and you'll hear it. A couple of listeners filmed this. They're standing by the water cooler and they're talking about 5 seconds for $5.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah, it's pretty damn funny. Yeah. Okay, so let's get into this. A young lady, this is from yesterday or over the weekend. She was at the Lincoln Memorial and she's being spurned on by her family. She sings at the church and there she belts the national anthem.
You ain't heard of people singing the national anthem.
What's up, Facebook Live? We have G Star Swain right here. So please, she's about to sing us a rendition of the Star Spangled Banner in the Lincoln Memorial. And listen to the acoustics in this.
Who said that I was going to do that?
We're ready.
Come on. Listen. That thing's been a I know. She's afraid. But look, watch God do it.
You videotaping it?
I'm video. She live right now on Facebook.
Okay. Let's go.
Come on. Let's go. You got to do it live. For everybody.
I'm scared.
I know.
I don't need everybody's attention.
Don't you do that.
No, don't do it. Let the music speak. Go ahead. And kids, y'all stay over there. Don't get in the way.
Can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed?
Tourists are beginning to gather around. As it turns out, the Lincoln Memorial has pretty good acoustics.
Yeah. Yeah. I gotta tell you, I get a little choked up when I hear that. She is incredible.
You're a tourist and that breaks out. Who's not gonna stand there and just enjoy a God-given talent that this woman obviously has? Okay, a couple of things. One, we need a cat. We need somebody to drive down to this radio station and bring your cat. I don't know what this is, but Gina is going to lick your cat.
Yeah. Make sure it's a nice cat.
Clean cat.
It doesn't have to be nice. I got a little barrier here.
Now, what is that thing you've got?
Okay, so was this GoFundMe, Katie?
They came up with the idea, and then they didn't have the money, so then people donated. So,
okay,
yeah.
So there's this prototype, and I use that word deliberately. It's a big rubber tongue with these little springy things on them, and it's so cat owners can lick their cat, because cats, that's how they lick themselves. You know, they get clean and get the hairballs out, and so you put this tongue inside your mouth, and you can lick your cat. I would very much like to lick your cat. So if you have a cat that you'd like me to lick, call us at 888-696-1003 and we will arrange it, and it's going to be awesome.
So let us know if you can come down and bring your cat so Gina can lick it. Also, our topic today, and I was concerned about this topic the first time we did it, but the phones blew up. Here's the topic. What do you do for a living and how much do you make? 888-696-1003.
5 seconds for $5.
All right. Now, if you doubt me when I say everybody's talking about this, just go to any water cooler and just listen to the chat about 5 seconds for $5. Then go to Mark in the Morning Facebook and check out that video Mikey put up. It's proof. It's right there. Yep. We go to William. He's calling from Thousand Oaks. Good morning, Bill.
Oh, that hurts.
He doesn't like Bill.
So,
Bill.
William, what do you do for a living?
I sell booze. I sell wine and spirits.
Oh, nice. Do you own the store?
I don't. I work for a distributor.
Oh, do you like it?
It's a great job. Definitely worse ways to make a living.
Oh, yeah.
What do you make?
About 100. Okay.
Wait a minute. Hold on. You don't own the store. You just work there, and you make 100 grand selling a bottle of wine?
No, I sell to the store.
Oh,
wholesale.
Okay, so you're a distributor, basically.
Yes.
If I could,
that is.
If I could just jump in for a second.
Yeah.
Hi, William. If things go south with me and the lad, let's chit-chat.
Wow, that is. I don't mean to be surprised, but I mean, it makes sense. You're a distributor, so that's really good money, do you not think?
I feel very blessed, definitely. I mean, I'm not selling tomatoes or lettuce, you know. I mean, I'm out there selling fun in a bottle, and that's a pretty good way to make a living. Yeah.
How old are you?
I am 43.
43. You married with kids?
Yes, three kids.
Which one's your favorite?
They're all sitting here at the bar looking at me. They're gonna give me the wild eye. I'll say Patton, my boxer. I'll just go with him and be safe.
Yeah, your dog. Always safe with the dog. So, how old are your kids?
12, 9, and 6.
Oh.
All right, that is a lively, loud house. Give me one example of the way that you parent.
I like push-ups. Big fan of push-ups. Help the kids out when they're having an attitude problem, and at the same time, I don't get in trouble.
That's good.
You make them do push-ups? Do you really?
I do. I was in the Army, and it worked on me, so I figured it'd probably work on them, and so far, so good. I got really fit kids.
Mark, wait, let's get off our high horse. You took away light.
And food. Yep. I did. All right, William, I'm going to ask you a question. I've chosen one that is very gettable, so I'm going to ask you the question.
So.
You'll have 5 seconds to answer it, and if you answer it correctly, you get $5, which won't even buy ice cream for one of them.
Wow.
This is
Here we
true.
Go.
And if I don't, you're going to call me a dumbass in front of my children. It's going to be great.
All right, William, here we go. Good luck. What 1998 movie featured Aerosmith's only number one hit, I Don't Want to Miss a Thing?
Armageddon.
William, you have just won yourself $5, bitch.
Yes.
Tell your kids you just won $5.
I just won $5, kids, and it's all mine. Hey, Mark.
Yeah.
Want to say thank you real quick, and I'll get off. I know you got stuff going on. I was in the very first Gulf War, and when I was gone, I was very, very lonely. I had a very hard time with all the stuff that was happening with all that, and went through some really bad stuff. One of the things that helped me the most was when I had some very good friends from home. They would record on a cassette back in the day, your show, Mark and Brian's show, and they would send it to me, and I would get my buddies and I would sit around and we would listen to it. And I can't tell you, you guys really had something special. You were more than just, radio DJs. It was it was really special. And it really, you don't know how much the comedy can make much, much better a really bad situation. So I just want to say thanks.
William, I hear from people who go through hard times, much like you just talked about, and I can't tell you how much it moves me. I just wanted to get on a microphone and tell jokes. But when I hear people like you say that, it means that I'm worthwhile. And I so really heartfelt appreciate your kind words. And also to go a bit further, one of the reasons that myself and people like me can sit outside and enjoy a cigar and look at the lake and have a sip of scotch is because of the freedom that you and many like you have afforded us. You put your life on the line for us. And I thank you and all of those who have served for this country.
You got it, Mark. And I also sold him that scotch, too, so I got that going for him.
William, thank you for listening, my friend, and thanks for calling.
Thanks, Mark.
5-4 All right, we're looking for a cat so Gina can lick it. Let's go to Olivia. She's calling from Tahunga. Good morning, Olivia.
Good morning, Mark.
So you got a cat?
I do, and he's pretty awesome, and actually he's a miracle cat. He got run over by a car in March and survived after surgery.
Okay, so now we need you to be able to bring your cat down to 5900 Wilshire so Gina can lick it. Can you do that?
Today?
No, not today. Sometime this week.
I can figure it out. Sure, I'll figure it out.
Aww. Yeah, because, I mean, you get to come down and watch us do the show, and then Gina's going to lick your cat. I mean, what else?
It would be an honor to lick your miracle cat.
And I would, and it would be an honor to see you guys in action. I'm a longtime listener. I've listened to you since I was a kid, Mark, and first time able to get through. This is amazing. Yeah, well, I can figure it out.
All right, Olivia, Danny's going to pick up and give you all the details you need, okay? And thank you for calling with your miracle cat.
Thank you. Yes, awesome. All right, I look forward to it.
All right, coming up, Mighty John Marshall, there is, an original issue of Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band autographed by all four Beatles.
Damn.
Now, Mighty John has always said, he's a record collector, he always said, autographs lower what the album is worth.
Even if it's all four Beatles?
Right. I mean, so we're going to get Mighty John on the phone and we'll talk it through. And also, Rolling Stone magazine has 22 great artists who recorded crappy songs. I've got another 5 that I'll share with you today. All that is at 7:20. So this morning when I was prepping the show and I saw this story, I immediately knew I wanted to talk to Mighty John Marshall, a professional record collector. Good morning, Mighty John.
Good morning, Mark. How are you?
Really good. Thank you for joining me at such short notice.
No problem.
All right. I'm going to read the story and then you'll give us your opinion. Here it is. What do you think an original copy of Sgt. Pepper signed by all four Beatles is worth? According to an expert in the field, at least $54,000. As reported, what is believed to be one of just 10 such copies goes for bids today from the British auctioneer Bonham. The backstory is fascinating and unique. 19-year-old fan Paul Manette waited outside Abbey Road Studios in 1967 while All You Need Is Love was being mixed. Armed with his freshly pressed copy of Sgt. Pepper, he got John, Paul, and George to sign the inside cover. Unfortunately, Ringo wasn't with his bandmates that night, and Manette had to wait 30 years until 1997 to get Ringo to add his name. That more than doubled the LP's value. Without Ringo's name inside, the disc would have been worth $20,000 only. But the fact that Ringo signed it separately from the other three has held down the collectible's value. Bonham says it would be worth nearly $110,000 if they had signed it the same day. Now, the reason, Mighty John, that I wanted your take on this is because you have always told us that an autograph devalues the collectible.
Well, in the case of the Beatles, we often said that the autograph doesn't help the value of the album itself, but the autographs may be worth a lot more than the album. And in this case, you'd be paying really for the autographs more than you would be for the album. And, of course, authenticity is a big problem. I think I might have told you one time I have a friend who can sign each one of the Beatles' signatures. You couldn't tell the difference, so you have to be careful. Obviously, these have been authenticated, and so they're worth a lot of money, but it's more for the autograph, in this case, the autographs, than the album. The album itself is worth up to about $500.
An original issue.
Yeah.
So in this case, you're saying that the autographs of all four will make it worth more. In your opinion, what is it worth?
I would say, well, I don't think I'd go as high as $100,000. I think you're more in the $50,000 to $75,000 price range.
Yeah, that's what the article said. So, Mighty John, for anybody who wants to get their records looked at, where do they go? You have a website.
Our website is moneymusic.com, moneymusic.com. We put out a price guide that lists the values for over a million records. It's just $19.95, moneymusic.com.
Mighty John, I will look forward to our next segment together.
Okay, thanks, Mark.
Take care of yourself. All right, so the topic today is, what do you do for a living and how much do you make? We go to Dale calling from Brea. Dale, what do you do for a living?
I'm sorry, say again?
What do you do for a living?
My job is a waste inspector. It is to monitor hazardous waste that goes into the landfill to make sure none gets in here.
Oh, God,
okay,
oh,
that's an important job. Yeah. What do you make a year for that?
About $68,000.
No. No, he deserves a lot more. That's a big job.
It's time for you to go to your boss and ask for a raise, Dale.
Oh, I wish. I wish. You don't have to tell me. We stay very busy out here with what we do. It's quite a job, but it's very rewarding, too, at the same time.
Dale, I appreciate you listening, and I appreciate you calling. All right, so Rolling Stone has come out with a list of 22 artists, great artists, that have recorded crap. Here are the next five. The Grateful Dead with France. Now, I got to tell you, I don't like the Grateful Dead. I kind of liked this song.
Wait. No. What?
Hey, what did the Grateful Dead fan say when he ran out of pot?
What?
Jesus, this music sucks.
I guess it makes sense if you hate the Grateful Dead that you'd think this song is okay, but this song is terrible.
Yeah, awful.
Next, The Who. Did You Steal My Money? You familiar, Mikey?
Yeah. I'm blinded by The Who, so I mean, everything The Who does is great.
But Mikey, in all your years at The Sound, we've never put this on heavy rotation.
No, they never released it as a single.
It's probably for the best.
Next, Paul Simon. Cars are cars.
Cars are cars. All over the world.
These are some deep cuts.
I just like the fact that somebody at Rolling Stone magazine has time to just do this.
Oh, this is great.
All over the world. All right, Aerosmith made the list. My Fist, Your Face. See, I love Aerosmith so much, I don't hate it.
I'm pretty familiar with all these bands, and I've never heard any of these songs.
Yeah, most of these songs I've never heard. And then lastly, and I'll give you five more tomorrow at this very time, The Clash, We Are The Clash.
I kind of like this.
Yeah, it's awesome.
A little anthem rock. Than cars are cars.
All right, so I'll give you the next five tomorrow at this time. Our topic today is, what do you do for a living and how much do you make? We'll come back later and speak with Jesse and Chris. This is Mark in the Morning. Let's find out what's trending in your world, Gina Grad.
Well, actress and vocal Bernie Sanders supporter Susan Sarandon said she's still, quote, not convinced she should vote for the presumptive Democratic presidential nominee Hillary Clinton. An initial to legalize the recreational use of pot in California has qualified for the November ballot. So we want to know, will you vote yes or no to legalize pot? Text us at 21003 and let us know how you'll vote, yes or no. And here's what's trending in sports. The Dodgers just... Six to five last night at Brewer Park. I'm Gina Grad, and that's what's trending online. Coming up, we speak with Jay Leno and David Letterman, and we want to know from you, what do you do for a living and how much do you make? But first, Steelers Wheel. This is Mark in the Morning.
So our topic today, what do you do for a living and how much do you make? Dig this. Let's go to Patrice. Patrice, tell everybody what you do for a living.
I drive a trash truck.
Okay, you're a girl and you drive a trash truck. I've never seen that. Are you one of the few?
Where I work, I'm the only one.
Okay. Now, driving a trash truck, tell everybody how much you make a year doing that.
Not much, about $48,000.
Oh. Oh, Patrice. No, so far I don't agree with the last two salaries at all. You deserve so much more.
Let's go to Jesse. Jesse, what do you do for a living?
I am a paramedic.
Oh, dude. How long did it take you to get used to the blood and guts that you deal with?
You know, takes a little while to get used to it. It's not as bad as you would think.
So you're basically the first one on the scene, right?
So I don't work for the fire department. I work for a private service.
Uh-huh.
So you don't have to deal with severed bodies?
Occasionally.
Oh, yeah. Oh, okay. Now, for that, tell us how much you make.
$35,000 a year.
What? Oh, dude, that's nut. That's crazy. You would have to give me $20 million just to get in the truck. Oh, my God. Thank you for calling, Jesse. Let's go to Chris. Chris, what do you do for a living?
I handled a garment contract for a pharmaceutical company.
You do what?
It's basically managing the uniforms and suits that are used at a pharmaceutical company.
Wait, I'm sorry. Okay, gotcha. What we have on the screen, and thank you for this, Jackie. It's
Stop,
amazing.
Stop, Gina.
Does something scientific.
Thanks, Jackie.
You just focused in on the word pharmaceutical, didn't you?
So Chris, let me get this straight. So you prepare the uniforms that are worn by the people in a pharmacy?
No. It's actually a manufacturing facility here in L.A. But,
okay.
What the twist is, I was hired, I guess, by a fluke. This used to be a customer of mine because I used to work for a uniform company that supplied it. We serviced them. But having a decade of knowledge and everything, the manager hired me as a full-time supervisor to manage the contract. So now my former boss is now my customer.
Okay, now I'm going to back up Jackie really fast. Everyone in this room, Mark, Mikey, Jackie, raise your hand if you understand what Chris does for a living.
I'm not completely clear.
No hands. Okay.
But I'm intrigued to find out, Chris, what do you make a year for whatever your job is?
It's a little under 70.
Wow. Uh-huh. He deals with white coats and he makes 70 grand. Tony, what do you do for a living?
Hey, morning, everyone.
Morning.
Crane operator.
Oh, fun.
Now, what kind of crane? Are you talking about the big ones where they lift the cargo off of ships or what?
No, I'm in truck crane, so that's the one with the carrier. You know, you'll set the boom down in a dolly and drive it down a road.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I'm intrigued. Tony, what do you make a year?
I'll say on the average, 160.
Oh, my. I'm actually shut. You make $160,000? Now, this is I've told all of you, forget college, get a skill. Look at Tony. He knows how to drive a crane. He's making $160,000.
Yes, sir.
Wow.
That's awesome, Tony. Congratulations. Good job. How long have you done it?
Thank you, sir. Since I was, I'll say 15.
Wow. Wow. See, that's a skill.
Yes.
That's a skill. Look, I have to get a grill redone, the innards of our grill, you know, where you cook meat. And I called the man. It took me 2 weeks to get him out here because he was so busy.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to Matt from La Quinta. Matt, what do you do for a living?
Hi, Mark. I am a resident physician.
A doctor. Now, the belief is we all think that doctors just make insane bank. Exactly what kind of a doctor? Just a general doctor?
No, so I'm a doctor in training. I'm actually doing a residency in family medicine.
Oh, okay.
So I have extra training that I have to do after medical school.
Mm. Wow. And how many years of college did you have to go to?
I have 4 years of college, 4 years of medical school, and now I'm in my third year training.
Ooh.
And when do you become a full doctor?
In 1 year.
Wow. You got a lot. Okay. Now, it's probably not going to be crazy money like when you become a doctor, but what are you making right now?
So I'm actually blessed to be at one of the highest paid residencies in the state, and I make $65,000 a year.
And he's interning.
Yeah.
Interns make less. Interns can make $50,000 at my residency. Other places, they make closer to $40,000 or $35,000.
Wait, you can make $50,000 interning somewhere?
Yeah. Wow. And you work 80 hours a week.
Oh, okay.
That's the thing about what you do.
Yeah.
That on call all the time thing can kiss my ass. You know,
you only do it if you love it.
Yeah, but I don't. And you like you can't, Matt. You can't sit down and enjoy a scotch because you don't know when the phone's going to ring.
Not unless it's Red Label.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, as you probably heard, Jay Leno was in a little bit of a car accident while shooting his TV show, Jay Leno's Garage. We have him on the phone to talk about it. Thanks for calling in, Jay, and I hope you're well.
Oh, hey, thanks. Thanks for having me, Mark. You know, and that car of mine crashed harder than the global market after the Brexit.
Good one, Jay.
Hey, thank you. Thank you. You know, speaking of the Brexit, have you seen this? Have you heard about this? Boy, that thing is so wacky.
Jay, I have somebody else on the other line. Can you hang on just a minute?
Oh, this is unbelievable, making me hold. Have you seen this? Have you heard about this?
David Letterman, thank you for calling in.
That's right. Somebody's taking Jay's gig for a change. You swooped in like a hawk, David. I sure did, Paul.
What's
going on?
What can I do for you, David?
I hold in my hand the top 10 reasons why I think it's hilarious that Jay Leno got into a car accident. Hilariously mean-spirited, Dave. Here we go. Number 10. I don't particularly like him, so I'm glad something terrible happened to him. Being hateful just for the sake of being hateful. Classic, David.
Not really a joke, though, guys.
Number 9. I'm still angry that Jay stole the Tonight Show from me, so I'm glad he was in pain. Hold that grudge, Dave. Hold it good.
See, these aren't funny really at all, Dave.
Well, I'm retired, so I'm a little rusty, but I'm going to power through, Mark. Number 8. I hate Jay Leno. I want him to suffer. You'll pay for what you've done, Jay. Totally devoid of empathy, David. I'm almost and criminally aggressive, too. I love it.
All right. Enough of this. I can't stand the negative energy. I have Jay on the other line. I'll talk to you some other time when you've had a good chance to calm down.
Go ahead. Run your precious Jay. Hey, Gina might want to cut his brake lines before he steals her job. He probably shouldn't go on vacation ever again, Gina. Jay's car would be turned upside down, just like my world, if you ever left me, David.
Goodbye, David. Jay, are you still there?
I sure am. Hey, before I tell you what's trending, who should I send this resume to?
Goodbye, Jay.
Hey, I just bought this long brown wig, and I've changed my name to Jaina. Have you seen this? Have you heard about this?
And now, the 5 reasons today doesn't suck.
1.
Happy birthday, Deep Purple drummer Ian Paice celebrates his 68th birthday today. He talks about Deep Purple had hired the Rolling Stones mobile studio and were getting set to record an album in Switzerland. But during that show, some fool shot a flare gun into the ceiling and it set the place on fire. Here, Ian talks about how the song was born.
The flames went up 200-300 feet and the downdraft from the mountains started blowing the smoke all across Lake Geneva. And we sat and watched this and Roger wrote down smoke on the water on a napkin and that was it.
It was on this day, 9 years ago, the iPhone was introduced.
That's 9 years. That's insane. I remember my boss at a retail store I worked at got the first iPhone, and I literally couldn't even figure out how you push the buttons. I'm like, there's no buttons. There's no actual buttons on it.
I was in Target, and I'm telling you, 2/3 of the women that were shopping Target were talking on their phones as they were pushing their cart around.
Mm-hmm.
It has gotten to where everybody is on their phone all... I haven't looked at my phone in 5 days.
Shut up, you bragger.
I'm just not that guy.
Really?
Yeah.
I had it with me every second on vacation.
3.
All right. I didn't know this. Maybe you did. It was on this day in 1967, actress Jane Mansfield dies at the age of 34 in a car accident in Louisiana. Her infant daughter, Mariska Hargitay, was asleep in the back seat with her brothers, but were not seriously injured. She goes on to become a big TV star in Law and Order. I did not know that she was Jane Mansfield's daughter.
Wait, not only did you not know they were related, but you didn't know that's how she died.
No, I knew Jane died in a car accident.
But not with Mariska Hargitay in the back seat.
Did not know, did
yeah.
not know.
Freaky.
Fool.
From Television City in Hollywood.
It was on this day in 1964, the TV remote control is invented. When the Beatles were driven to meet Elvis in Bel Air, Elvis was sitting on the couch watching television and playing a bass guitar, and Elvis showed the Beatles the very first remote control.
That's
and that's
insane.
All they, yeah, that's all they talked about the entire time.
Five.
It was on this day in 1996. Superman Action Comics number one sells for $61,900 at auction in New York.
Faster than a speeding bullet. More powerful than a locomotive. Able to leap tall buildings at a single bound.
Look, up in the sky, it's a bird.
It's a plane.
It's Superman.
Yes, I was acting Superman. It out for Gina.
Not only was that amazing, but it reminded me of this great joke. I can't remember the name of the stand-up comedian who said it. But they said, the first two people, it's a bird, it's a plane. What were they so excited about?
All right, the topic today is, what do you do for a living and how much do you make? Let's go to Desiree. Desiree, tell everybody what you do for a living.
Morning, y'all.
Good morning.
I'm an aircraft mechanic.
Ooh.
Okay. My guess is crazy good money here. What do you make as an aircraft mechanic, Desiree?
Starting out, you kind of average between $39,000 to $56,000, but if you hit top pay, it's about $100,000.
Wow.
Do you think it'd be higher, Mark?
I thought it would be around that.
Yeah.
Because that's, I mean, if
that's
you get the
work.
Because that's a full, I mean, that's benefits and insurance and
yep.
all that crap. Let's go to Victoria. What do you do for a living, Victoria?
I'm a school bus driver.
Oh, now this is interesting. A school bus driver. So you drive in the morning and the afternoon?
Correct.
And how many times do you stop the bus, which means the stop sign comes out from the side of the bus, and you have people drive around it when they're supposed to stop?
Oh, I'm so glad you brought that up because it happens every day and it's so dangerous.
Yeah.
It's against the law, right?
You need to get $1,000 fine for that.
When that stop sign comes out the side of the bus, you are supposed to stop.
Yeah.
Because there's little kids
yep.
walking around.
That's the thing. If you get $1,000 fine, you're one of the lucky ones because you didn't injure or kill anybody.
Exactly. It's so bad. I mean, people just don't get it, I guess.
Yeah.
All right, Victoria, what do you make a year driving a school bus?
$48,000.
You know, not bad considering that teachers don't make a great deal more.
Well, it depends on your what degree you have, actually, you know, as teachers.
And what age?
Principals, they make over $100,000. So.
What age kids do you drive?
Everything from preschool to high school.
How many times do you stop the bus and say, so help me God, if you don't sit down?
There's many. You gotta get them trained in the beginning of the year, that's for sure.
Oh, smart.
All right, let's go to Ross. Ross, what do you do for a living?
I own a pool and spa company, Mark.
I'll bet you he's making good bank. All right, you own a pool and spa company. What do you make?
$150,000 a year.
Nice.
Dude! Oh, that's awesome. Congratulations. That's a made man right there.
Spanning the globe to bring you the constant variety of sport. The thrill of victory. And the agony of defeat.
So, Todd, the Dodgers win, Angels don't.
Yeah, you know, that's kind of a repeating theme so far this summer, I think. Yeah, the Dodgers won 6-5, and remember the rookie pitcher I've been telling you about, 19-year-old Julio Urias, got his first major league win. Yeah, he pitched 6 innings, gave up 2 runs, 6 strikeouts, so the Dodgers beat the Brewers 6-5. And Clayton Kershaw, by the way, major league pitcher, $30 million a year. Okay, that's his job. That's what he gets paid, okay? That's his job. That's what he gets paid. He came back from the Dodger road trip. He's having some back issues, stiffness in his lower back, and so he's seeing the back doctor. And they hope he's going to be ready to pitch on Friday at Dodger Stadium against the Rockies. But anyway, that's just, you know, a precautionary thing. Wow. The Angels lost again. They lose to the Astros 7-1. I mean, there's just no life in this team right now. Mm-hmm. The Astros have won 9 of 10. The Angels have lost 8 of 9. The Angels are 14 games below 500. They are 19 games out of first place, and it's not even July 1st. I mean, this is unbelievable.
Stop it.
19 games out of first place, Mikey.
You're torturing me. Stop.
Mikey. Anyway, Texas, we have three teams, though, that have great records in Major League Baseball. The Texas Rangers won their 51st game of the season last night. The Cubs won their 50th game of the season last night. And they actually have, by percentage points, a little better record than the Rangers. And the Giants just missed winning their 50th game of the season last night. They've won 49. So there you go in baseball. Now to basketball, okay? And LeBron James has turned down an option-year contract with the Cavaliers for $24 million. So LeBron James, professional basketball player, $24 million a year. Okay, so there we go. And it's a formality, though, okay? It's a formality because he is probably still going to remain with the Cleveland Cavaliers. See, July 1st, that's Friday, between July 1st and July 10th, those are the days where free agents can go out and cut deals and shop their services around, and then all the deals are consummated after July 10th. So that's the way it works in the NBA.
Now, Todd, since I don't follow, but I do know that LeBron has been in the league for a while, is he still one of the finest talents out there?
Absolutely, Mark, he is. I mean, he is. I don't know what's gotten into me this morning. But anyway, no, he is. Mark, you look at his body, his skills. I mean, he is a physical specimen like no other on the planet, for crying out loud. You know, being, 6'8", 260 pounds, who can run and jump and has the muscular physique that he does. And you know what's amazing is, and he's been playing NBA ball since he's 18, he's 31 years old now, he hasn't had that many bad injuries. You know, basketball, I mean, some guys, I mean, Kobe's body broke down toward the end. LeBron still got, you know, more years before he gets into the Kobe age, but he's amazing. He just is amazing. Dwayne Wade contract negotiations with the Heat are breaking down, so he will probably field some free agent offers beginning on Friday. The Spurs' Tim Duncan accepted the $5.6 million option year of his contract, but he's undecided if he's going to return for a 20th season. And the Lakers say they are confident that they are going to get a face-to-face meeting with Kevin Durant, also a free agent, who will also make over $25 million a year. So if you're listening, baseball pitchers and NBA players, that's a good job. That's a good job. Hey, hey, Mark, here's a guy that I know you love, Mike Singletary, okay?
Oh,
I mean, I love the guy. Well, get this. Mike Singletary is going to be a defensive coach for the Los Angeles Rams, whose official radio FM home is 100.3 The Sound, okay? So there you go. But Jeff Fisher has said he hasn't really defined the role yet, but he'll probably be like an advisor to the defense. That's great.
You know, yesterday I sat on the NFL Network. They have a show called A Football Life, and for an hour they take you and show you the life of, and they were doing Mike Singletary yesterday. This is a great get. This guy is so enthusiastic and fired up. I love everything I'm hearing.
Yeah, and he, of course, was the 49ers head coach for a while. He was the Vikings linebacker coach until 2013. He's been out of football for 2 years, but he's coming back in. And he, of course, was the middle linebacker on those great Bears teams that were coached by Buddy Ryan. We talked about Buddy Ryan yesterday, who passed away. So I think it's great. Mike Singletary with the Rams. WNBA, the Sparks beat the Dallas Wings 89-84. They were down 22 points. They came back to win. You know, the Sparks are 14-1, and that ties the record in the WNBA for the best 15-game start in league history. And kind of on a sentimental note, Candace Parker, the star for the Sparks, had 31 points and 13 rebounds on the day that her former college coach died, Pat Summitt, of course. She played for Pat at Tennessee, and she wrote on her sneakers, rebound. I guess that's what Pat used to always tell her, rebound, rebound. And Wimbledon, we just have one match to tell you about. The number one seed, Novak Djokovic, going for his third straight major this year, Grand Slam event. He is beating Adrian Mannarino, 6-4, 6-3, the first two sets. And he'll likely win that in straight sets.
Todd, there is a fun story at Wimbledon. Marcus Willis, he's ranked 755th in the world. Mm-hmm. Yesterday, he beat somebody he shouldn't have beat, but he did. And so now the fan base is loving him. I think it's going to only be a 24-hour love because he plays Roger Federer today.
Absolutely. And you know the guy who he beat, you know what he said?
Mm.
What you talking about, Willis?
Anyway,
I just thought I would throw that in. Anyway, that does it for sports, brought to you by Frontier Toyota and beautiful Valencia, where they're having the 4th of July sales all this week through next Monday. Great savings, FrontierToyota.com.
Todd, whatever you had for breakfast, have it again tomorrow.
There you go, baby.
Okay, so the service that I use to prepare this program, Premier Radio News and Prep, Gina used to work for them. They do something periodically that I absolutely adore. They send out an interview. And what they give you the questions that you're supposed to ask, and there is a gap where I read the question. I always like to do this to see if I can time it out right. Usually I step on them or there's like 5 seconds of silence waiting for the answer.
So basically it's just a long string of celebrity answers with a little space for you to ask the question, pretend like we're doing it live.
Absolutely.
Amazing.
That's the premise. So I'll be doing that at 8:20.
Yes.
Mark in the morning. So it looks as though you're going to have a chance to vote this November on legalizing pot. Do you want it? Do you not? We're doing a text poll. Yes to 21003. No to 21003. All right. I love these so much. I look forward to when they do it. The prep service I use for the show will periodically send out an audio piece. And this is an interview with a celebrity or whoever it is. And they give me the questions that I'm supposed to ask. And in the audio, there are gaps of silence where I try to fit the question in. And so I'm either too early or too late. Sometimes I get it right.
Yeah.
Today's interview is with an attorney, Steven Weinberg, an entertainment attorney who specializes in copyrights for 25 years. Are we ready?
Let's do this.
All right. Steven, thank you for joining us today.
My pleasure.
So I suppose we should start out by asking if you thought the verdict...
I was doing media consulting at the trial, and I thought it was going to come out the day before. So it came out longer than I thought. I thought it boded better for the plaintiff the longer it took. But, it came pretty quickly. Not really that much of a surprise.
What was the mood in the courtroom while this was going on?
Well, it's a courtroom is a very solemn place. There's not a whole lot of laughing going on, although there were some moments of levity. Jimmy Page was being cross-examined by the plaintiff's attorney and led through a couple of different questions, and sometimes the plaintiff's attorney will try and feed you things. And the plaintiff's attorney said they were talking about Jimmy Page's career as a studio guitar player, and he said something like, "Oh, and so you were a gifted on the guitar." And Jimmy Page says, well, yeah. And so there was a burst of laughter. There were instances of that, but mostly it's very quiet. It's very, very serene.
The attorney for Spirit and Randy California's estate said that...
Absolutely critical. This case was defined, even though it was a music case, it was defined by what the jury did not hear.
One
of the things the jury recording of Taurus that everybody on the internet now has heard. They were never able to compare the audio recording of Taurus to the audio recording of Stairway to Heaven.
Explain what had happened and what the jury was allowed to hear.
They did. Here's how that played out. Basically, this is a song that was copyrighted in 1967. Mm. And at the time when you were copyrighting songs, in 67, the only thing that you could deposit with the Library of Congress was sheet music. So plaintiffs, in order to bring this case, had to rely entirely on the sheet music. So what the jury heard were various musicians' renditions of this particular sheet music. The problem was that the sheet music, in my mind, didn't accurately... it wasn't really true to the dispute here. The sheet music basically captures
Taurus, if you listen at, I guess it's a minute and 37 seconds, you will hear a sort of a harpsichord playing, and that's really what the sheet music is. It was done on piano. It wasn't even done on guitar.
Do you think if Led Zeppelin's past history had been allowed, that would have had all...
Well, again, this is one of the other things that the jury was...
Who puts this together? This doesn't... Listen, keep doing it, because I love it, but it doesn't work!
Oh, it's great.
I got out one third of that last question, and he was on me.
You know, that's a good question.
All right. We're hearing more and more about bridezillas. An anonymous bridesmaid revealed on Australian lifestyle blog that after months of driving the entire wedding party crazy with her obsession over every detail of the wedding and even asking her bridesmaids for spreadsheets and research on wedding cake bakeries, the bride-to-be crossed the line when she asked them to pitch in on her wedding dress. Apparently, the dress cost over $10,000,
no,
more than twice her budget. Instead of continuing the search for something more affordable, this bridezilla sent out an email to all her bridesmaids asking for a $150 donation for her dream dress because she was so over budget. This is on top of the girls already buying their own shoes and dresses, paying for the bachelorette party, bridal shower, and wedding gift. Unbelievably, three of the seven bridesmaids agreed to chip in, but the writer of this tell-all wasn't having it. Quote, I'm starting to think I'm going to bail on this wedding and my friendship with her.
Thank you. Yes, this is insane. You know, the only ones that would agree to give the 150 are like the ones who are like the little minions of the mean girl. Like, oh, but we all have to wear pink on Monday. Oh, I can't sit at the lunch table. Like, who cares? Shut up. This girl is not your friend.
The one that blew me away, the bridezilla story, was they got, she and her future husband got a gift from one of their friends. And it was a financial gift, which is what they had asked for. This bridezilla wrote back and basically said, I was a little offended by the amount of your gift. You do have a chance for an adjustment.
No.
And she, that was $200.
Wow.
And then she reaches out to this person and says, not enough. Can you imagine?
No, I would adjust it. I would do a stop payment. Tell her to F off.
That's what everybody said. Cancel the check.
Yep.
And just don't ever talk to her again.
No, I am not one for reality TV. It's just not my thing most of the time. But I got to tell you, I fell into a very dark space a couple years ago with the show Bridezillas. I've probably seen every episode. Mark, have you seen it?
I have not.
Oh, it's so good. They're so crazy.
Shut up, Rita. If you're sitting there...
What's wrong with you?
If you're sitting there wondering, huh? I wonder what's trending.
Yeah.
You got Gina.
Thank you. Well, actor Jesse Williams' speech from Sunday's BET Awards is still in the spotlight a few days later after he gave an impassioned speech on behalf of the Black Lives Matter movement. Jesse received BET's 2016 Humanitarian Award and used this time on stage to further address the issue. Here's a clip.
There has been no war that we have not fought and died on the front lines of. There has been no job we haven't done. There's no tax they haven't levied against us, and we've paid all of them. But freedom is somehow always conditional here. You're free, they keep telling us. But she would have been alive if she hadn't acted so free. Now,
Caitlyn Jenner wore her 1976 Olympic, there's the music, 1976 Olympic gold decathlon medal on the latest cover of Sports Illustrated. The cover marks the 40th anniversary of the last time Jenner covered the magazine. And Calvin Harris thinks it's, quote, effing laughable that Taylor Swift has already met Tom Hiddleston's mother, considering she never met Calvin's mother during their 15-month relationship. Wah, wah. I'm Gina Grad, and that's what's trending online. Coming up, another very special Facebook feud. But first, the boss. This is Mark in the Morning.
Live from Radio City in Hollywood, it's Facebook Feud. Starring Mark Thompson with Gina Grad.
You know, it's funny. Most of the Facebook feuds we've been doing came from Mark in the Morning's Facebook. So today, Sunday night's premiere of the new Match Game, panelist Rosie O'Donnell revived her feud with Donald Trump by referring to him as an orange slug. This ignited the following Facebook feud on Mark in the Morning Facebook. Rosie O'Donnell matters. The last movie that sow made that was worth anything was the Flintstones movie. I thought that little piggy went to market.
Hey, watch your mouth, you knuckle dragger. You're scared of a strong woman like Rosie and Megyn Kelly, so you call us bimbos. Hashtag Trump lover.
Trump may be an orange slug, but Rosie is a fat, ugly slug. These liberal women want to be treated equally, but when they attack a man like Trump and he fires back, they run crying, boo-hoo. He's at war with women, boo-hoo. He hates women, boo-hoo.
Trump is the crybaby. They say I have small hands, boo-hoo.
Rosie should fight ISIS instead of Trump. After all, they're afraid of pork, pig emoticon.
Wow. You're the disgusting pig. All you men care about are women who are hot. If you had it your way, John Stamos would be president.
Be better than Hillary. Dude, I'm totally straight, and I do John Stamos before I do shrillery. Hashtag more of a woman than she'll ever be.
I tried to watch Match Game, but it was Democrat propaganda. I broke a fingernail changing the channel. As for Rosie O'Donnell, her career ended when she played Jabba the Hutt in Star Wars. Oh. Nice. So most of our Facebook feuds are coming from our Facebook page.
Yeah.
Gotta love it. Got to love it. All right. A rousing round of how does this end? I'll give you the front part of the story. You tell me, Gina, what you think happens.
Okay.
A Florida man was checkmated by cops after he called 911 and demanded deputies be sent out to aid him in correcting his order from a Checkers burger joint. John May phoned the emergency number on Saturday night saying he had gone through the drive-thru and had been given wrong food. And worse yet, he experienced insubordination from the eatery's manager. Officers arrived at the scene. They found May sitting there eating half his meal already eaten. Yet still complaining.
How did this end? All right. He called the cops, right? Because his order was wrong.
Correct.
He claimed insubordination by the manager, which I don't know that you can do when you don't work there. And when they got there, he ate pretty much all the food and was still bitching about it.
Yes.
I think they probably demanded... Well, he already paid for it. I'm going to say, because it's America and people still, for some reason, believe the customer's always right, they gave him a coupon for a new free meal.
The 53-year-old guy told the cops that he knew there was no emergency, but that he wanted law enforcement to have the manager correct his order as a matter of honor.
Oh, God.
It did not happen. The man now faces misdemeanor charges of misuse of 911 and trespassing on the grounds of failure to leave when the owner told him to.
Good. That's exactly what should happen. What restaurant was this?
Carver's, the burger joint. What is it? Culver's? Culver's.
Oh, Culver. Mm. Yeah, I'm not familiar with Culver's.
Yeah, we don't have them out here.
Maybe that sucks. Who knows?
No. We got to find out. Let's find out if we're sleeping correctly. Still feeling exhausted when you wake up from a solid 8 hours of sleep? Maybe you're catching your shut-eye the wrong way. PureWow wants to fix what you're doing wrong in the bedroom with the following tips. If you sleep on your back, who does that?
I don't. I try not to.
If you sleep on your back, congratulations. This is the ideal way to sleep.
What?
You're doing your back and neck a big favor since your spine is at rest and you're preventing wrinkles since you aren't mushing your face into a pillow the entire night. If you find yourself snoring, add an extra pillow.
Wait a second. I thought when you sleep on your back, you get sleep apnea and go...
You do. But they're saying that because of all the other advantage, that's the way to do it.
Huh.
If you sleep on your side, you need a tweak. This position can cause nerve compression, which could lead to chronic pain. Believe it or not, it also matters which side you sleep on. It's better to lie on your left side, which reduces heartburn and improves digestion. To help matters, try placing a pillow between your knees to provide extra support for your back.
That's how I sleep, on my left side with a pillow between my knees.
I sleep on both sides, never my back.
Do you get heartburn?
No.
It's a thing. It's a real thing. If you sleep on your right side, and pregnant women are supposed to sleep on their left for the same reason.
And lastly, if you sleep on your stomach, stop it. Lying flat on your stomach causes a lot of neck pain, since you have to turn your neck to a 90-degree angle in order to breathe. It also flattens the natural curve of your spine, which could lead to lower back pain. In other words, learn one of the other positions.
Well, you know I can't sleep on my front, so.
I sleep on my side, and if it's a really strong night, I've got a kickstand going, so it keeps me upright. So we are doing a text poll because it appears as though you're going to be able to vote on legalized marijuana this November. So we're text polling this. If you are going to vote yes, send that to 21003.
The poll's over. We got the results.
Oh,
yeah.
Then hit it. What did we get?
All right. Unanimous. Landslide. 87% yes will vote for marijuana.
On the November ballot in California.
Dude, the tax money that this state could get is ridiculous.
Yeah.
Because, look, people are going to smoke their pot whether it's legal or not. So, anyway. So, we're going to have 9 people in this house for the 4th of July. 9. And so we went and bought a whole bunch of fireworks that we're going to shoot off on the 4th of July. So we needed something to take all of the fireworks down to the beach where we're going to shoot them. So we went and bought a Red Flyer wagon.
Yeah.
And it said minimal putting together. I opened the box and there was 1,000 pieces on the floor. So I'm going to have to put it together. So Linda said, I'm going to Facebook Live you doing that. And I'm like, why? Who wants to see that? 13,000 people. Watch me put a wagon together for an hour.
Just you sitting on the floor confused is worth the price of admission.
Dude, it was nuts. And it was funny because I was putting it together because I do not do that. I'm not a tool guy.
You call the guy.
And I was putting the wooden sides on it.
Yeah.
People on Facebook Live are going, he's doing it backwards. They go on the other side. I would have never made it were it not for them. But my point is this. If you liked that, then you're going to love today's Facebook Live. We were at Costco, and we walked up, and there, hanging from the ceiling, was an inflatable living room. I mean, a full couch, wading pool, extra chairs, and then a ramp where if you're in the water in the lake, you could climb back on the thing. It's huge.
It's like a flotilla.
I have to use the handy truck to get it down to the pier. Here's the problem. It's too big to inflate on the pier, which is where it eventually is going to be floating from. So today, Linda has gone to get 200 feet of rope. We're going to inflate it on the beach and then attach the rope and pull it to the pier. And we're going to Facebook Live all of that.
I have so many questions about this. First of all, how much do you think it's going to weigh once it's inflated?
It's so heavy in the box that I can barely carry it, so I'd use the handy truck to get it down.
And did this cost you more than $150?
Yes.
When this hustling, bustling, gritty city sometimes gets you down. Hey, what a treat, meet the chick on the street. You never know what she might say.
I ain't gonna cuss, bitch.
It's Katie, and it's gonna be a great day.
I smile every time I hear that.
It's great.
Every single time, because of Andy Chandler. He, the original, he wrote it and recorded it with his guitar and his iPhone. And the whole thing just has a smile in it. I love it too much. All right. Chick on the Street is down at Sky Slide, which everybody's talking about. Katie, how you doing?
She's on the phone.
Good, other than some technical issues, so I'm on the phone right now. But I am here at Sky Slide. The views, you guys, are absolutely incredible. I am looking at helipads, but I'm looking down on them. Wow. I mean, helicopters are flying by, and they're at my eye level. This is gorgeous. This is now, unbelievable.
Now, Katie, what exactly is the sky slide? Describe what it is.
The slide itself is a tempered glass slide. It weighs 7,000 pounds, and it's 1,000 feet above the downtown ground. It's in the U.S. Bank Tower building, and it's a very, very tall building. And I'm actually here with John, who is the senior vice president. And tell us a little bit about how you guys did the slide and what was kind of going on with that.
Well, just to be specific, this slide, our OUE Sky Slide, is part of our OUE Sky Space Observation Deck here at the U.S. Bank Tower, which is actually a four-floor experience. It's a legitimate attraction that offers technology along with these amazing 360-degree views of the Southern California region.
Now, has anybody had like a really weird request of like a way they want to go down the slide that you had to like say no to, or has anybody tried to do anything really weird that you don't allow?
We do get a number of different requests, but unfortunately we can't entertain all of them. We have a strict protocol here just to maintain our safety standards.
So I can't go down the slide eating a bowl of spaghetti, or I can't go down it backwards.
I wish I could say yes, but unfortunately no.
Mm-hmm. I tried.
Now, Katie is going to be writing this in a minute. Katie, now I know my daughter. Katie, are you really, really nervous about this?
I mean, the shaking in my body is like an earthquake, and I'm just afraid that I'm going to cry and vomit all over the slide. But I mean, hey, it'll make it more slippery, I figure.
I don't want to make this worse for you, Katie, but I just want to remind everyone that you will be 1,000 feet in the air.
And it's glass.
Thank you. Thank you, guys.
Totally see-through.
You're making me feel amazing about it. Thank you, guys. Thank you.
All right, now, Katie, when you ride it, are you sitting on a piece of cloth or something?
Yeah, I'm sitting on a rubberish type situation. How do I set this up, guys? So I put it on this metal. So it's like this metal thing, and I hold on to some straps, and then they kind of just push me down. And I can see all of downtown. I mean, this is incredible. I wish everybody was here. Everybody needs to come do this. This
now,
is
Katie,
incredible.
If you have to hold on to straps, how are we going to hear you?
We're going to work it out. Are we doing this right now? Should I get in position?
Yeah, let's do it.
Alrighty. So right now I'm sitting onto the slide.
Oh my God.
And I move back so that we can fold it over so I can hold on to the straps. All right. They're going to make sure that somebody's down there to clear me for the launch. Are we clear? I don't know. I don't know if I was allowed to yell that, but I did. Oh, he said don't yell that. Whoopsie. Whoops, guys. Sorry. Sorry, Sky Slide.
Katie, try to tell us what you see
clear.
As you're riding.
So right now I'm scooting forward, and right now, I'm going to sit here for 1 second. I can see a bunch of buildings. I can see the freeway. I can see cars. Oh, I feel like I can see my life flashing before my eyes. And, you know, this is just, do I have to keep talking? Can I just go down it now?
Yeah, just go.
All right, here we go. I'm going down. I'm moving. I'm going. Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh, the building. Oh, my God, I'm going down. There's Danny. Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh.
Are you still going?
No, I'm done. I'm on the ground.
You did it.
Oh, God. That was quick.
Oh, my gosh, you guys.
There's Danny.
Oh. Oh, he was down there with a camera, and I was afraid I was going to slam him.
Katie, was it fun?
That was so fun. Oh, my gosh. And the view when you land. Now I'm standing outside, and I'm running. Now I'm running. This is great.
I have so much energy.
I slide.
All right, Katie, give us your out.
Nope, we lost her.
This is Chick on the Street sliding out.
Okay, a street magician pulled off a disappearing act that landed him in jail because he tried to make a woman's bikini disappear. Richard Cook of Clearwater, Florida, which is the bad part, was performing his sidewalk magic act when he asked for a volunteer. A woman wearing a bikini stepped forward to join the act, and Cook explained that he was going to make a scarf disappear from his hand. To set up the trick, he asked the woman to keep her hands out in front of her. That's when he reached down and untied her bikini bottoms. The shocked woman was able to quickly grab her suit before she was completely exposed and told Cook that she no longer wanted to be a part of the trick. But Cook persisted and responded, "You will feel comfortable," before doing the same thing again to her.
What an ass. Do you think, I mean, I'm all for a good joke, but this was, I'm a magician. I'm going to make your bikini disappear and I lean over and pull your drawstring.
Well,
what
he's a jerk.
Jerk.
Yeah, you can't. I mean, it's ridiculous. You just can't do that. Let's find out what's trending. Here is Miss Gina Grant.
Okay, this is pretty gruesome, and I wasn't sure if we were going to talk about it this morning, so let's just get it out of the way, shall we? Mm. A California drunk driver allegedly hit and killed a homeless pedestrian, then drove for a mile with his body wedged in her windshield.
Good God.
Now, not only is that sick and horrible and disgusting, but it was part of the plot of Fargo. The 29-year-old, what's her name? Blonde.
Wish I could help you.
Kirsten Dunst. The 29-year-old woman was arrested on Monday morning after she walked away from her wrecked car with the victim still stuck inside.
Good God.
Yeah, you know, it's like one thing to have a couple too many pops and, you know, fall asleep on your couch, but this is when you need some serious help because you've just done a horrible, horrible thing. Mm-hmm. The Supreme Court is taking up an appeal from an 11-year-old Michigan girl with cerebral palsy who wasn't allowed to bring her service dog to school. The justices said Tuesday they will consider whether Elena Fry's family can sue the school district for violations of federal disability laws. Fry's family obtained a golden doodle to help her open doors and retrieve items. Her school district initially refused to allow Wonder, the dog name, Wonder at school. Officials relented a little bit in 2010, but they placed many restrictions on the dog. Elena and her dog later had to transfer to another school. Her family sued the school district for violation of these disability law acts, and the case was dismissed after a judge said the Fries first had to seek an administrative hearing. Oy, so much red tape. An appeals court last year upheld that decision 2-1. So all this little girl wanted to do was bring her service dog to school to help her open the door so she could walk around her school, and they just weren't having it.
The school can't do that. These help dogs, these service dogs, they can go pretty much anywhere.
Yeah, I should do some more digging because this really doesn't make sense. You think when you have a service dog, they're allowed to pretty much go wherever they want.
Right.
And remember that there was another story of a little girl who couldn't walk without a walker and a cane and all these contraptions. And she was so small, they got her a dog like a Great Dane. And she just leans on the Great Dane. She walks around school. She has her life back. So
wow. These
dogs are really lifesavers.
That's great.
Mark, cannot believe you haven't brought this up. TMZ says Lisa Marie Presley has filed for divorce.
Well, I mean, hell, every time you turn around, she's divorcing somebody.
Guess it would be trending if she wasn't. Elvis Presley's 48-year-old daughter married 55-year-old, what's his name? Something Lockwood. Who was her guitarist, music producer, and director. They married on January 22nd, 2006. They have 7-year-old twin girls. Presley cites irreconcilable differences as the reason for the split, noting they separated on June 13th. So what's the magic number for her now?
Well, this is 4.
Okay.
Because there was Nicolas Cage, Michael Jackson, there was her first husband, Riley Keough, who is the one she actually loves, and then there was this latest guy.
Okay.
She got divorced from Riley Keough and then went back to him later. She should just go back. That's the one she really digs.
How do you know?
Well, she and I are BFFs.
Right. I totally forgot. Sorry, I was a stupid question. I'm Gina.
By the way, she was on the Mark and Brian program with me, and I made the mistake of bringing up her father.
No. Wait, yeah, you'd think that would be okay.
It's not.
Oh.
Yeah, or at least it wasn't at that point.
Well, maybe it was just because it was coming from you and she knew you were a super fan. She was good. I'm Gina Grad, and that's what's trending online. This is Mark in the Morning, and this is Led Zeppelin.
Wraps it for us. Uncle Joe proudly stands before us with the 10 at 10.
It was easy to read me that way, wasn't it? Very, very easy. 10 at 10 today, intense year for music, and it's also the year Space Mountain opened and Cheryl Ladd replaced Farrah Fawcett and Charlie's Angels. Everybody knows that year.
70.
Watch this.
77.
77 is exactly it. Gina got it first. Congratulations.
I was in the wrong decade.
But 77 is going to be featured the 10 at 10 today here in the Sound.
I just love the fact Linda, my wife, was the biggest fan of Charlie's Angels.
Really?
And
she have the
one
hair
that,
too?
And the one that really cracked me, she loved Wonder Woman.
Oh yeah.
I saw a clip on YouTube. Oh my God, did it suck?
Wonder Woman.
All right. We're back tomorrow on Rolling Stone magazine. They listed the 22 great artists that recorded some real crap. I've given you the first 10. We're down to the last 10. So 5 more tomorrow. Plus, it's Jackie's Throwback Thursday. And the rumor that's going around, though we don't know the song she's chosen, the rumor is that it could suck hard, just as hard as Wonder Woman's acting. Mikey.
I need a devil, and I need to be running with him.
Thank you. Oh, man. Oh, welcome back, Gina. Glad you came back for that. Yeah.
Van Halen, Mark in the Morning.
Want more Mark in the Morning? Live and in living color in Southern California. Listen weekday mornings from 6 to 10 on 100.3 FM.